Must we be specific when we reprove, when we rebuke? What does the Bible say? Well, let's turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 17. Read verses 17 and 18 here. Mark 6, 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now that sounds pretty specific to me, doesn't it? Absolutely specific. By the way, we believe the Lord led us in naming our little ministry back to Enoch. I'm captivated with Enoch, who is an example of what we are to be right now. You with me? And do you know that there's a snippet from a sermon of Enoch, an evangelistic sermon of Enoch's? Did you know there's a snippet in the Bible? Oh, some of you are nodding. You're a great audience, a great... This was news to me. I grew up in the church, and this was news to me, and I guess I just hadn't... I read it, but I didn't get it. In Jude, book of Jude, verses 14 and 15, we find a soundbite, 14 through 16. This is a soundbite of Enoch preaching. And so now I'm interested. How's Enoch do his evangelism? He's traveling into the city. He's trying to reach out to sinners, to lost men and women. Here's a snippet from a sermon starting at verse 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh when 10,000s of his saints. Boy, he's preaching about the second coming. Why is he coming? To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. That's pretty specific reproof going on there, isn't it? This is in evangelism. Well, how about in the church? Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Starting at verse 16. Moreover, Isaiah 3:16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and make a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their calls, and their round tires like the moon, the chains, and the bracelets, and the mufflers, the bonnets, and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands, and the tablets, and the earrings, the rings, and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. Well, I don't need to go on. Must the proof be specific? Listen to this. This is Desire of Ages, page 805. Warn every soul that is in danger. Leave none to deceive themselves. Call sin by its right name. Declare what God has said in regard to lying, Sabbath breaking, stealing, idolatry, and every other evil. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:21. If they persist in sin, the judgment you have declared from God's word is pronounced upon them in heaven. In choosing to sin, they disown Christ. The church must show that she does not sanction their deeds, or she herself dishonors her Lord. She must say about sin what God says about it. She must deal with it as God directs, and her action is ratified in heaven. He who despises the authority of the church despises the authority of Christ himself. Manuscript number 16, page 1. Those who walk with God are prepared to call wrongdoing by its right name. Sin is sin, whether practiced by ministers, teachers, medical missionaries, or other workers in the Lord's service. those who discern unchristlike traits in professed Christians occupying positions of responsibility must use great plainness of speech in pointing out these evils, instead of apparently continuing in fellowship with erring men because they're standing in high places. It is on account of the positions of trust that these unchristlike workers occupy that I am instructed to say to our physicians, great plainness of speech is required. She repeats herself. Those who, though occupying positions of grave responsibility, are Christians only in name, are not to be sustained and upheld and strengthened by their brethren. For Satan works through the sinners in Zion to bring in strife and contention and difficulties which make God's people a reproach and a shame to Christ. Well, let's quickly move on to this issue of how should the reproof be given. We're given some very specific instructions. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with, what's it say? All long suffering and doctrine. All long suffering and doctrine. Now, when it says doctrine, I'm coming to understand something here. In fact, just look back at chapter 3, verse 16, an important key text. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. So if we are going to reprove with all long-suffering and doctrine, what is the most effective way to reprove sin? With Scripture. And I'm sorry to confess to you that I have seen reproof go much more poorly than it need have gone because I didn't follow this rule, because I didn't use Scripture. I didn't come to a person with a Bible text. Now, we identified a problem, and it really was a problem, but I'm saying I failed to do this, an important key. Now, we should also remember, by the way, listen to this. This is from Science Watch, July 12, 1904. Listen to this. Severity to a few will often prove mercy to many. Yet, we must be careful to manifest the Spirit of Christ and not our own hasty, impetuous disposition. We must rebuke sin because we love God and love the souls for whom Christ died. And again, reading from Steps to Christ, page 12. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful kind attention in his intercourse with the people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. Now, you know, when it's talking about hypocrisy, at least what it reminds me of was that incredible passage in Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You remember that passage? Listen to what Mrs. White says. This is from Signs of the Times, May 14, 1894. Christ is the model of perfection, both in outward manner and inward grace, for he was meek and gentle of heart. He did not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. He enjoyed seeing children and youth happy. He never spoke an unkind, discourteous word. Now listen. Even in his denunciations of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, keen and searching though they were, there was no manifestation of an irritated temper. So we must learn to reprove with keen, searching, even sharp words, the Bible says, but no manifestation of an irritated temper. We need the Holy Spirit to help us do that, don't we? Amen. Now, friends, we've got to touch on a point here because it's so important. Someone said to me once, well, we know if you're of the right spirit based on the response that you get from the person who you have reproved. Well, let's look at something in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Starting at verse 17. This is the Lord speaking to the prophet, Jeremiah. 1 verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto him all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. Oh, praise the Lord. He was encouraging Jeremiah in advance, wasn't he? And listen as we read on. Lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee. Now, wasn't it the Lord's plan that Jeremiah do so in his spirit? That he fight in his spirit? Of course. And what did he tell him would happen in advance? They will fight against you. But they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And unfortunately, friends, even when reproof and rebuke is given in the most loving spirit, even when it's delivered in the spirit of Christ, most often it's rejected. Let me read to you a few comments. Great Controversy, page 606. In every generation, God has sent his servants to rebuke sin both in the world and in the church. But the people desire smooth things spoken to them, and the pure unvarnished truth is not acceptable. Signs Watch, July 12, 1904. The spirit of true reform will be met in our day as in ancient times. Those who are zealous for the honor of God and who will not countenance sin, either in ministers or people, need not expect rest or pleasure in this life. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 679. God has set me as a reprover of his people, and just so surely as he has laid upon me the heavy burden, he will make those to whom this message is given responsible for the manner in which they treat it. I have not chosen this unpleasant labor for myself. It is not a work which will bring to me the favor or praise of men. It is a work which but few will appreciate. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 328. Those who have in the fear of God ventured out to faithfully meet error and sin, calling sin by its right name, have discharged a disagreeable duty with much suffering of feelings to themselves. But they get the sympathy of but few and suffer the neglect of many. The sympathizers are on the wrong side, and they carry out the purposes of Satan to defeat the design of God. And just a couple more of these remarkable statements. Review and Herald, September 16, 1873. Those whom God has chosen for an important work have ever been received with distrust and suspicion. Anciently, when Elijah was sent with a message from God to the people, they did not heed the warning. Listen to this. They thought Elijah unnecessarily severe. He must, they thought, have lost his senses. They thought he was mad. He must, they thought, have lost his senses, that he would denounce them, the favored people of God, as sinners, and their crimes so aggravating that the judgments of God would awaken against them. And then finally, from Great Controversy, page 606, many reformers in entering upon their work determined to exercise great prudence in attacking the sins of the church and the nation. They hoped, by the example of a pure Christian life, to lead the people back to the doctrines of the Bible. But the Spirit of God came upon them as it had come upon Elijah, moving him to rebuke the sins of a wicked king and an apostate people. They, that's the reformers, who had planned on being very tactful and careful. What happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. They could not refrain from preaching the plain utterance of the Bible. Doctrines which they had been reluctant to present, they were impelled to zealously declare the truth and the danger which threatened souls. The words which the Lord gave them, they uttered fearless of consequences, and the people were compelled to hear the warning. That's Great Controversy 606. Oh, friends, we come back to Revelation 3, the Laodicean people. And in pamphlet 70, if you've got the CD-ROM, now there's probably a cross-reference in this, and I didn't write it down, but it's pamphlet 70, page 5. If ever a people needed to walk before God, as did Enoch, Seventh-day Adventists need to now, showing their sincerity by pure words, clean words. Now please listen. Words full of sympathy, tenderness, and love. But it is not to end here. There are times when words of reproof and sharp rebuke are called for. Those who are out of the right way need more than soft words to bring them back. And that's what it's about, friend. It's about bringing people back. Amen. Who are slipping away, and only a sharp reproof could yet capture their attention. And then, of course, still the choice is in their hands. I want to close with two verses of Scripture and an appeal to you. But let's go there, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Oh, friends, doesn't your heart yearn to enter into the work God calls us to do so with the hope, by God's grace, that someone can turn, even if it's one? What would you give in exchange? What would you give in exchange for one day in heaven having just one person come up to you and put their arms around you and say, thank you for doing something that hurt? What would you give for that? In Proverbs chapter 27, I know you've heard this verse before, but it seems so fitting to close with this. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Let's pray. Would you kneel with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, you tell us in your word there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That friend is Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. How often it comes and it cuts. But Lord, we thank you for being faithful to wound us, to be faithful to bring us words of reproof and correction, even sharp at times, because of your matchless love for each one of us. Oh Lord, forgive us for being false sympathizers, for entering into a work of death at times with others who were under deep conviction and our sympathy fell on the wrong side. Lord, forgive us for in anger rejecting and despising those loving reproofs that you have brought our way. Lord, we want to repent of our sin today. We want to be a holy people before you. We want to be awakened from the slumber in our church. And for that to happen, we've got to embrace and welcome again the ministry of reproof and rebuke among us. Help us to do it in your Spirit, Lord, but help us to be faithful. Help us, indeed, as the Scripture said, not to hate our brother, and yet not to suffer sin upon him. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.